Welcome to the Evaluating Biopharma podcast, where we meet with the top experts in the field to deconstruct challenges and opportunities that they've each experienced in order to provide you, the listener, with real-world practical advice and knowledge to help in your own work and to maybe see things a little bit differently. I'm your host, Ben Lockwin, and it's my pleasure to sit down for a chat today with my friend and colleague, Jamie Martin, industry process and program management expert who also has deep experience with process scale-up and process development, process transfers, as well as cross-functional expertise in class 2 and 3 medical devices. So I'd love to get into this conversation. Hello, Jamie. Great to have you here.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Would you please start off by telling our listeners a bit about yourself and your work in the industry? Because I'm sure you can do that a lot better than I can or I just did.
Sure, no problem. So I have been in the, I'll say, biotech industry for about 20 years, just over. And it's been a combination of biopharmaceuticals, and medical device and combination device. I have worked in a number of roles from manufacturing and technical support all the way up to technical management and then kind of transitioning into technical project management. And that really takes on the full life cycle of either the biopharmaceutical or medical device combination device. From early stage development, clinical work up through scale up, process optimization. And then similarly for medical device, early stage product development, all the way through prototype building, testing, and then verification, validation, and ultimately a regulatory submission and regulatory clearance. So kind of the full life cycle in both industries and also where they overlap with combination products.
All right. Fantastic background there. And dipping into a lot of that expertise, today I wanted to catch up with you and discuss how program management works in the industry. So you've spent a lot of years in some high intensity roles, and that includes working on a variety of different programs. And I think that's a great place to start. So let's level the playing field for the audience. Can you describe how program management differs from project management for those who are maybe unsure about how, you know, one is not quite the same as the other?
Sure. Yeah. Happy to. So I think at its kind of most basic level, if you think about project and program management, and I would actually add portfolio management into that. It's a hierarchical structure. So portfolio management at the highest level is kind of a group of programs with related content or benefit to the organization. Under that are the programs that are a collection or group of projects that benefit the organization with a common goal. And then underneath that are the discrete projects that typically have smaller scope. They have a specific deliverable or charter. And as each one is completed or executed in parallel, they work to meet the goal of the program. So if you think about it in terms of the industry that we're in with pharmaceuticals, typically it would be a particular disease indication would be kind of like your portfolio. And the programs within it would be the different drugs or treatments that are potentially going to be developed to treat that disease. And then within that would be the projects that are being executed to support that program. So think of it in terms of drug development, scale up. Maybe you're focused on transitioning to external manufacturing. So that supplier selection. Would be one of your projects that leads into the support of your program, which is to move forward with that particular drug or device that's the treatment. So really, program management is kind of that intersection where you're executing multiple discrete projects in the service of finding a treatment for, in this case, a disease state.
Got it. That's a great way to put it. So recursive layers as a mental model.
You got it. Exactly.
So when you're managing a program, what would you say are the most important things to get right at the program's inception? So, you know, you mentioned the portfolio. So within that portfolio, there's a program, let's say, and you're taking that on. Do you have any mental heuristic or checklist to ensure a successful start, which would be like the must-haves?
Yeah, I think those are super critical. So when you're doing any project kickoff, probably one of the most important things to start with is a charter. And a charter really is a document, can be a single page, like a slide, if you're thinking of it in PowerPoint terms. And really what you're doing is you're defining the scope. What is in and what is out of that program in terms of what you're trying to accomplish. You want to identify within that charter your stakeholders. And probably most importantly among them is your sponsor or your project or program champion. And that's really going to be, or typically is, a member of senior leadership. And so you're looking for somebody that is going to be your decision maker, provide guidance, the person to whom you're going to escalate if you have an issue or a risk that's been realized. And then in addition to that, roles and responsibilities being clearly defined is very important. And that's most commonly done with a RACI, which is just your responsible, accountable, consulted, and informed. And really that just defines what each function's or individual's role is within the program. Mm-hmm. And then after that, typically what you'll do probably within that first week or month, depending on your timeline, is you're going to go away and you'll meet with your project team and you'll come back with a baseline, some type of timeline or basically a confirmation or a vetting of the durations of the milestones within the program. And I think probably the last thing I'll say that's important at that kickoff is to agree on how you're going to do change management. So once you've accepted the baseline, everybody is effectively signed off on that charter for the scope. You really want to agree on if something changes, timeline, you get an indication that didn't yield the result you were expecting, and it has potential to impact financials or timeline delivery. How are you going to manage that change? And that's really important, because once you start to deviate from that, you know, original charter, you need a way to get buy-in from your stakeholders that the change is acceptable.
Mm. Is there any sort of mental gauge that you have that triggers you in the context of if it's kind of off track from what you had anticipated from the charter? You know, some amount of variance is tolerable, acceptable, expected. Is there kind of a thermometer there where if it gets beyond a certain point, you say we need to pull the team together, revisit, you know, everything or parts of this?
Yeah. So, I think if things start to go off track, right? You're in your project plan, you're looking at your deliverables or the duration for a specific deliverable, and you can see that you're tracking late. I think really what you're looking to do is have scenarios kind of in your back pocket as a project manager. Always be in that project plan, whatever format you're using. It can be MS Project, it can be Smartsheet. A common one for engineering programs is Primavera. And always have scenarios that you can use as levers that you can pull. And basically those are accelerators. And what you're going to want to do is identify those. Typically when you're trying to speed something up to get back on track, that does involve some amount of risk, right? You're going to have to accept some type of risk or program impact in another area to get back on track. And you bring that to your stakeholders. The most important thing is to quantify it and to escalate it to those stakeholders, and chiefly of them, your sponsor, as soon as possible. Don't wait. And really you want to say, we can do this if we change X. and have a good plan and a clear strategy for how to do that and then present it.
Mm, okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So for listeners who may have newer programs that they're working through, or if they're new at managing a program, mm-hmm. what are some keys to continuous success as the program is running?
So one thing that is really, really important is to maintain some type of decision log. And it can be an actual log that you keep in the form of like a OneNote or a Word. You can do it in Excel so that you can filter things if you want in terms of searching by topics or stakeholders. But really what that does is it captures a decision made by your team or the stakeholders or both. And then you move forward. The most important thing there is don't relitigate previous decisions. Mm-hmm. Because once you arrive at that kind of inflection point where maybe something didn't go your way, it's really important not to go back and to start to second guess and question some of those previous decisions. There's always an opportunity to change course, but it's important to maintain kind of a baseline of what you've agreed to. I think that's super important. Also a risk register. And again, it can be in whatever format you choose. There's no right or wrong answer. Some organizations have templates, some don't, and that's okay. It really is about identifying risks, some type of rating of those risks. So high, medium, low, red, yellow, green, whatever you want to use for that. And then to identify mitigations for it. And really to keep them fresh. So you don't ever want to create it at the beginning of a project and then set it aside and not go back to it.
Yeah, right.
A good rule of thumb would be to go in every week when you meet with your team, or if you meet with them daily, probably weekly, and just go over your top three that you've agreed to and make sure you kind of, you know, as those get mitigated or closed out, then you kind of refresh it. But it's really important to maintain that visibility to both your stakeholders and your team.
I like that. Yeah, keep them fresh.
Yes.
And I kind of asked around this before, but maybe if I go in a little bit more directly. So yeah. if things are going wrong, or maybe we'll be less severe with it, we'll say things are off track. Mm-hmm. What does your expertise have you doing to restore the program's timeline or milestones? So you've got some scenarios that you had planned out. Are you updating your forecasts? Are you revising the deliverables, or both? Or what's the best way to go about that?
Yeah, so I think that's where it goes back to one of those tools that you really want to kind of start off with in terms of baselining,
right?
Is agreeing on what level of change management you're going to do, and how formal or informal that's going to be. Is it literally just a check-in with your sponsor to say, hey, we're going to do this. It will affect the timeline by X number of weeks or months. And they sign off on it? Or is it a formal meeting with all the stakeholders where you have to present it? And then kind of, you know, get their buy-in and document it. So I think that's probably the most important point. And really what it is it's a balancing act, right? Like if you're trying to get something back on track, usually the answer is some combination of people and or financial support. And so, you know, do you need more money in the budget? Do you need additional scientists or engineers or analysts to do the work? And I think that's really where you need to quantify it, be specific, and identify in a program if you're going to borrow, let's say, additional resources from another project within that program portfolio. You know, how does that impact the other project? Because you have to be transparent about that. If you're going to pull in resources from one area to another to get one project back on track, how does that impact the other project if you're mm-hmm. trying to keep the entire program on track? So I think it's really important to be transparent, identify those risks. There are almost always options. And what the important thing is, what your job is as the program manager, is to identify, quantify, and then get it in front of your stakeholders so that you can get buy-in and execute that updated plan.
Got it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what would you give for advice to the listeners as some best-in-class tidbits that they could immediately start using tomorrow? Anything come to mind for, you know, you should think about this, you know, kind of your mental shortcuts for how to make this work in the fastest, most effective time possible?
Sure. Yeah. That's a long list. you learn from the failures as much as you do from the successes.
Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely have, I think, a short list. I think probably one thing that is very easy to do when you start to get into the execution phase of a project, and you kind of, especially if you're more on the technical side, it's easy to get bogged down in the technical details and caught up in the discussions and the day-to-day. But never, I would say never stray too far from your project plan. And again, whatever format that is, a simple Gantt, a really complex MS Project smart sheet, kind of project plan, always revisit that plan and be tracking your progress to your agreed upon dates. Mm. At least multiple times per week, if not daily, depending on the duration of the project and how aggressive your schedule is. But yeah, really, really stay familiar and fluent with your project plan. That is important. One thing that I think that's a trend, at least I'm seeing in the industry, is a focus on external manufacturing and third-party suppliers in general, kind of outsourcing the work from your organization. If your organization is providing the technical expertise and the development of the process or the product, but you're going to somebody else to manufacture, I think it is really good to just focus on and know that when it comes to supplier selection, you kind of get what you pay for. And a lot of times there is I think at least early in your career as a project or program manager, it's easy to focus on time and money. How fast can they do it and who can do it for the least amount of money? But it is really important to build a consideration for quality of the supplier into your selection process, and to really explore what their competencies are. Because just because they are in your industry doesn't mean they've necessarily done the thing that you're asking them to do. There's a huge spectrum of for medical device and for biopharmaceuticals and pharmaceuticals, there's a huge spectrum of kind of competencies out there. So I think be really clear about what you're looking for in a supplier if you're going to outsource any part of your program. I think the last thing, and I guess I probably should have started with this. This is maybe the most important, but kind of going back to your idea of what to do when things start to go off track.
Right.
I would say never go to your leadership, your stakeholder, your sponsor, with what you can't do. That is not useful information to them. Telling them something is off track is part of your job, but just saying we can't do it is never going to be received well, and it doesn't reflect well on you as a program manager. I think. Mm-hmm. Instead, I always focus on what it would take to achieve the goal as it was currently or initially scoped. Do you need more people? Do you need additional funding? Do you need to reprioritize another project so that you can get additional materials? Those things are all options that are on the table to keep yourself on track. And as I said before, they are usually associated with some increased risk profile, but just be transparent about that. And I think when you do that, you will demonstrate, you know, that you are kind of in control of your program and that you're always looking for ways to succeed rather than just kind of accepting when you experience a setback. Because you will. It is inevitable that you're going to experience a setback. So I think that's really important. And probably lastly, just this sounds like common sense, but get to know your team and what are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? Those are always opportunities for improvement. You always have an opportunity to guide and be part of that process and lead by example. You're obviously there as a program manager. You're delegating tasks. You're tracking deliverables, but show them that you're kind of there with them in the trenches. I think that kind of leadership really speaks volumes. And it is how when things don't go the way you want, you kind of keep that buy-in and credibility with the team. So, yeah, I think that'd be my short list.
Yeah, such great points. And I guess the shifting the mental mindset from or to one of we can do it, if not one where it's we can't do because.
Yes, so important. Mm. So important.
Well, you heard it here first. I heard it here first. That's about all of our time for today. Do you have any parting thoughts on any ideas that maybe have come up or any of these ideas that you haven't shared for our listeners?
I think one thing that is so great about project and program management is once you kind of learn the skill set, it really is. I know they say it in the PMBOK, and that's for those that are new to it in the program management professional kind of guidebook. Once you learn how to do the tasks and the day to day of program management, it really does provide an opportunity to practice your kind of methods and skills across industries. And it does, once you've learned those skills, translate really well. So I really see it as a career that isn't really bounded by any one sector or type of technology or service. So I think getting into project and program management is a great opportunity to grow and to experience new things. And I think it is one of those career types where you can change industries relatively seamlessly and kind of try something new and find like find what you're passionate about. If you like project and program management, but maybe the industry you're in isn't quite the fit for you, or you find you're not as passionate about it as you once were, there are always other opportunities and always organizations looking for great project and program managers.
Mm, beautifully said. Well, thank you so much, Jamie. It was fantastic to chat with you and insightful as always. So thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. I appreciate the time.